Like to turn in the book of Revelation to chapter 2. We'll be continuing with the letter to the seven churches. A message directly from the ascended Lord to his body here on earth through an angel that gave the message to the apostle John, who wrote this to the messengers, the angels, the pastors of these seven literal churches that existed some 2,000 years ago. We read the first letter to the church at Ephesus. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." There are some similarities in all of the addresses, and one of the similarities is that Jesus always describes himself in some way. Here he describes himself as he who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, indicating that he is sovereign over the messengers that he sends to the churches. He's the one who calls, he's the one that ordains men to preach, and he's the one that gives them the gift and the ability. He walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He delights to meet with his people. He is with us today. He says, "I know thy works and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil." Most of the churches, the Lord has something to commend about them. There are some that only receive a reproof. Some only receive commendation and don't receive any form of reproof. Here at Ephesus, they receive both. First, he tells them the good things. "I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, and how thou canst not bear with them which are evil." A church that was diligent in serving Christ, a church that was perhaps very active in community service and in ministering to one another. They were enduring hardship. Their patience indicates they were enduring difficulties, and how they canst not bear with them which are evil. They didn't have any toleration for false doctrine or for evil practice. He says, "And how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." So when false preachers would come to them, they would study the Word of God, and they would bring the truth to bear and to light on the situation and prove that these men were not ordained of God. He says, "And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." Great things the church is doing. The Lord commends them for. He says, "Nevertheless," verse 4, "I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." So as much as the church at Ephesus was a diligent church, a laboring church, a zealous church, yet they had lost the proper motivation, which was their love for Jesus Christ. Perhaps we can see that in our own lives today, how we might desire to be more diligent in our service to the Lord, but we have perhaps wandered from our first love. We sang the song this morning, "Do not I love thee, O my God, behold my heart and see, and turn each cursed idol out that dares to rival thee." He says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works." The way to church this morning, Carla read a love letter that I wrote to her some years ago. I don't remember when I wrote it. And it was instructive and edifying for both of us to remember from whence we are fallen. Even after just a few short years of marriage, we can lose some of that original first love that we have. And Jesus tells the church at Ephesus, they've done the same. They've left their first love being him. And he says, "Remember from whence thou art fallen." Remember how it was when you were first converted, when you first loved the Lord and you took up your cross to follow him. Repent and do the first works. Sometimes we have to do the works before the emotion and the feelings follow. He says, "Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Now, as we look at some of the other letters, notice how Jesus, and to some of the churches, indicates a time that he's going to return. He says to Ephesus, he says, "If you do not repent, I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." This ought to be the biggest concern for the church in Mount Carmel. There are many things that a church can be concerned with, but here is the most important thing, and that is having a candlestick that Jesus Christ has placed here, and for that candlestick to remain. If the church fails to repent when they've been warned and reproved by God's Word, then Jesus Christ gives the warning that the candlestick may be removed quickly. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. That's how Jesus describes himself to the church of Smyrna. He was dead and he is alive. He says that to a church that is suffering great tribulation. Ephesus may have endured hardship, but Smyrna was under great tribulation. They were impoverished. He says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Although they were suffering from a carnal standpoint, yet he says spiritually, they were abundantly blessed. And it's indicated in his letter to the church at Smyrna that although they were suffering great hardship, yet he was very pleased with them. And he does not tell them to repent of anything. He says, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan, indicating who may have been persecuting them, those who were unbelieving Jews. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Two of the churches so far. The third church, Pergamos. To the angel of the church in Pergamos, remember angel means messenger, so this could be like the pastor or the minister. The minister's given this commandment that he's to pass it on to the church. Pergamos write, These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. Notice how Jesus describes himself as being the one with the sharp sword with two edges. What does that indicate? That indicates the Word of God. Hebrews 4 says the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and quick and pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Jesus has that sharp sword with two edges. He says, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So the church, he does commend some things about their works, but he says their main issue is they are tolerating and they are entertaining those who would teach the church members to live ungodly lifestyles and to embrace ungodly doctrine. Balaam was a prophet who was unable to speak anything other than the word that God had placed in his mouth. And the thing about Balaam was he wanted to curse the people of Israel. He wanted the money that King Balak offered to him. And when he opened his mouth to curse the people of God, a blessing would come forth. And three times that happened. And so finally, we find out here that what Balaam decided to do was give the king counsel. He said, here's what you want to do. If I can't curse the people of God, I'll tell you what you can do as a king. You can entice them to sin. And so he taught Balak, the king, who was the enemy of the people of God, to go down there and to entice the men with their women, to teach them to do fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols, to entice them carnally. And that, therefore, there would be a stumbling block for the children of Israel. They would fall in their sin and fall in their relationship with God. It was Balaam that was behind all of that. And he says, you have in the church men that are doing the same thing. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. The Nicolaitans, I believe, were very legalistic, and they had a great deal of rituals. He says, repent or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. In other words, it's the truth of God that the church at Pergamos had left. They had not held fast to the word of God, and Jesus indicates that it's his word, the sword of the Spirit, that he's going to use to judge the church. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Verse 18, And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Again, a lot of wonderful things Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. This is like the church at Pergamos. Only here it's a woman teacher, and she's teaching the people of God to sin, to commit fornication, and eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her a space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you no other burden, but that ye have already, hold fast till I come. Notice he promises that he is going to come. To the church at Ephesus, he warns that he will come quickly if they fail to repent. To the church at Thyatira, he says, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, a spiritual ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, chapter 3, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, and that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. The church at Sardis has a frightful message, and that is that they have a reputation, they have a name for being a living, vibrant church and group of disciples and followers of Christ. But he says, thou art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. You can think of this group as just going through the motions, and maybe they're riding on the heels of their ancestors who were very diligent in the service to God, but yet as a body now they are, in Jesus' terms, dead. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. See, he says to Ephesus, he says, I will come quickly. He says, hold fast till I come. To Pergamos and now to Sardis, he says, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. There were even in this church, there were a few that were still seeking and serving the Lord. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out the name of his name out of the book of life, for I will confess his names before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So although these were written to individual churches and to specific churches, yet all of the churches are to take heed to what the Spirit, to what Jesus Christ is saying to the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. This church was an evangelistic church. This church was a missionary church. He says, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I'll make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Again to Philadelphia, Christ says, I come quickly. Hold fast. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We've covered a lot of ground, and we're going to wrap it up with the last church, the church at Laodicea. And I hope we'll take just careful note as we read what Christ says to the Laodiceans. And unto the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. This is a lukewarm church. This church, perhaps like Ephesus, is going through the motions. But they're not even zealous about that. They've left their first love. He says, "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." You know, the church, the city of Sodom, which was destroyed by hellfire and brimstone, rained down out of heaven. In Ezekiel, it says that the three sins of Sodom and Gomorrah was an abundance of bread and much idleness and an abundance of pride. The people were proud. They were lazy. They had plenty of free time. And they had lots of food to eat. Laodicea, he says, you think you're rich. You think that you're increased with goods. You think that you have all of your provisions and that you're well taken care of. And that may be true, naturally speaking, but spiritually, you know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, this is a church that Jesus Christ is writing to. That can give us a measure of hope that even a church in this spiritual condition, the Lord still owns as His bride and His body. But He says to the church at Laodicea, you're lukewarm. You think that you're rich, and you're really poor, wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Perhaps, spiritually speaking, this was a people content with their own spiritual condition. They were satisfied perhaps with their own righteousness. Perhaps they were satisfied with the things they had learned about Christ and were content not to learn anymore. He says, buy of me gold tried in the fire. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Still loved by Christ, but in need of great repentance and revival. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now notice the timing here. He says, I will come quickly to Ephesus. He says, hold fast till I come to Pergamos, to Thyatira. He says, I come quickly to Philadelphia. What does he say to Laodicea? I stand at the door. I'm already here. And I'm on the outside of the church. I stand at the door and knock. Now he says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. You know, you may be a part, and I don't believe Mount Carmel's this way. The Lord knows where we fall into the seven categories. But you may be a part of a body where there is great spiritual coldness. And maybe you're not getting much out of the preaching of the gospel. But here he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. Christ is still there at the door of the church at Laodicea. And if there's any inside the church that have a desire to commune with Jesus Christ and have a desire for fellowship and for repentance and for a closer walk with him, he says, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now some commentators take these seven churches and they say, well, this is a picture of the history of the church, that Ephesus was the early days and the days of the apostles, and as you move on down through, Laodicea is going to be the church in the last days. And I think you could make an argument for that, especially with the timing of Christ return here, that there may be great falling away in the last days. Jesus says in Matthew, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith upon the earth? Paul says that evil men shall wax worse and worse. The last days, perilous times shall come upon us. Maybe this is the way the church is going to be in the final days before the Lord returns. But he says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. God bless you.